evangelist Rob Hicks, sorry, Mike's his twin. A little bit about him in case you do not know. Sometimes we think because we grew up without a dad or had a rough background that we can't amount to much. That's absolutely not true. Absolutely not true. I did, and this young man did. This young man did too. Drugs and alcohol and just a tough, tough childhood. Listen very carefully. A soul winner knocked on his door. A soul winner knocked on his door. This young man got saved because a soul winner knocked on his door. And he and his wife went to church. They got saved. They got involved. In 1998, he went to a pastor's conference and heard Dr. Jack Hiles. Now, a lot of people are attacking Jack Hiles. Look, the guy's in heaven. Leave him alone. But I'll tell you what, that old fundamentalist is still talking to a lot of people. Amen. I happen to be one of those. He surrendered to preach at that time and went to Hiles Anderson College. During his college years, they went through a lot of tough times. You tend to look at people because they wear a nice suit or they speak properly, whatever the case is. Well, I wish I grew up like them. You have no idea what you're talking about most of the time. These people who come here were not born with a silver spoon, silver Christian spoon in their mouth. These are tough guys. And they grew up and gave their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God began to mold them. And so God worked in their heart. Brother Hicks and his wife Lisa have been married for 30 years. He's been in the ministry now for 25 years. He has four boys, Hunter, Zach, Luke, and Ben. His youngest is 14 years old now. Zach and Luke and Ben are very, very active in teaching at their home church right now in Longview, Texas. First time I heard him, I don't know when I've laughed so hard in my life. And it's been a long time since I've seen so much enthusiasm and passion about what he has to say. So here's what I do. Listen to me. My church people, when preachers come here, I don't want them to come here just to help us. I want us also to help them. When they leave here, I want them to know that there are still places that are living right, doing right, and we're for them. And so I'm glad that you're here. Visitors, thank you for visiting. You're in our home church. You're just a part of the group now. And so this is what we do. This is what we are. And we thank God for it. But I'm glad that you're here. Thank you so much for visiting with us. Appreciate that very much. Let's have prayer, and then we'll have a song, and then Rob Hicks will come preach for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for men who stand. Thank you for all over this church, young couples who just stand. They find out what's right and just stand. It really doesn't make a difference what the rest of the world thinks because they're going to keep changing constantly. But we need to just stand. I thank you for Rob Hicks and his family, the things he's been through and the things that he has faced, the problems that he has had to deal with has made him the man that he is today by your design. May we all understand, after you suffered a while, make you perfect, strengthen, establish, and settle you. We're trying desperately to avoid that first one suffering. It cannot be done. Not to live for Jesus cannot be done. Help us, please, to understand when that happens, God is molding us into a more perfect man. Help us, please. Bless him this morning. Give him what he needs to say. Give him freedom in his spirit to talk with us. We love you and ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.
When life lets you down and you feel more broken than whole, when the wounds go deeper than words and you can't tell a soul, I may not know what you're going through, may not can make that high. wants to share the burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. Friend, do you think the Maker and Giver of love is far too busy to care about your trouble and strife? To share the burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. If it's your greatest joy, or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it doesn't only matter to you, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all very much. God bless y'all. Well, I'm blessed. Thank you for that song and words. I'm glad I serve a God that if something matters to me, it matters to Him. And I'm thankful for this church, Pastor Bell, the staff, all the hard work. I want to say thank y'all so much for what y'all do here. You're staying with it, standing. Keep on. It's not popular anymore, folks, but it doesn't matter. My heart is burdened as I travel this nation. Heard Brother Bale say this is my 25th year. I cannot believe that it's been 25 years of running across this country. We look back at over a million miles of traveling and open up in this one book here. It's wonderful King James Bible. Infallible, perfect, preserved, inspired Word of God. Now, I've got tired in the way, but not of the way. I'm blessed right now. Beyond measure of standing right here in this place to have another opportunity. Might not make it back down to Texas, but I'm here right now and I'm so thankful for it. I'm thankful for this ministry and continuing to reach people. But I'm terribly burdened of what I'm seeing so much of across America, that what I believe that people do not have the touch of God. I'm talking about a physical touch, friend. Don't let me scare you or spook you. I just thought, just a while ago, the song just popped into my mind. I was sitting there, He touched me. You know what changed my life? He touched me. Amen. But you know what? I had to let Him touch me. Amen. See, we don't serve a God with a baseball bat up in heaven that beats us in submission to do anything. He's always inviting us. He wants to be a part of our life. Now, before I even jump into the message, I want you to know, if you're sitting under the sound of my voice, I don't care where you've been, what you've done, what kind of situation you are in right now, God is begging you to come to Him. God wants to bless you far beyond measure. I'm not going into my testimony of my life, or it was horrible at the things that I were involved in before He touched me. But when He touched me, it changed my life. I want you to turn to the scripture of Genesis chapter 32, if you would. Genesis chapter 32. I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about a man that was truly touched of God. God have mercy on Mrs. Bale back there. Oh, I thought she was going to be the one. Oh, Miss Sarah, you are in for it. She sat down on purpose, I guarantee you. So, we'll pray for you throughout the service, okay? But better yet, you go ahead and preach your own message, okay? Tonight, I give you a script, okay? I'll write it all out, and you can just read it. Genesis chapter 32. I'm going to begin reading in verse 22. We have Jacob here in the setting. Most of us know the story. The Bible said, and he rose up that night, took his two wives and his two women servants and 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over to the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone and there wrestled with a man. Now listen to that. He wrestled with a man with him until the breaking of the day. That took a little while, folks. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Now, who's in the blessing business? Let's put our thinking caps on this morning. Who is the only one that's in the blessing business? Don't forget that. He said, I'll not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask of my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of this place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face. That's what we need to do, is see God face to face, my friend. The Bible said, seeing him who is invisible. I stand to testify right now, I've seen God. Oh, not in a physical way, but every day of my life, I see God. And he passed over, Peniel. The sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Never walked the same again. Therefore, the children of Israel eat not the seyut, which shank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Father, we do love you. We thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for this ministry, this church. And God, we thank you for this blessed book that you give us. Lord, we're asking you today to touch us from on high. Lord, we truly need a touch of God. There's people under the sound of my voice that need a touch of God. Lord, make a difference in our lives today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd lead me, guide me, direct me, Lord, having to say nothing that I should not. God, but bless me and help me to encourage your people. That's the reason I'm here today. God, please, please, please lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, we have the setting here with Jacob. We have him wrestling the angel of God. And this passage raises more questions than answers. There's no doubt about it. Yet I believe there's some basic truths that we can pull out. One is, I think that this is God's way of recognizing the sport to all rednecks. Wrestling, somebody say amen. Now you got to think about it a little bit. What is really going on here? Wrestling with God? Number one, it was a necessary experience. Notice in the scriptures here that Jacob did not initiate this wrestling match. He didn't initiate. The man approached him. By all indications to me, the Lord was the one who started this wrestling match. Now, why in the world did the Lord do that? Friends, I don't know. I can't dissect this down, but I do know this much. Since I've been saved for 28 years, God wants to be actively involved in our life. Actively involved. He doesn't want want you coming in Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, just sitting there. Listen to this preacher. He wants you to open up the Word of God yourself and digest what the Holy Spirit of God has for you personally. He wants to be heavenly involved in every child of God across this world. Now, there's another situation here. This wrestling match that's going on is the day before that Jacob was having a reunion with his brother Esau. Now, let's go back in time in our mind a little bit. What was the last thing that Esau said to Jacob when they walked away? He had robbed him of his blessings, hey man. He had took everything from him. He was a schemester, a liar, a two-face. And he said, I'm going to kill you. That's the last thing that he said. I'm going to tell you something. Jacob got tired of living the way he was living. Jacob got tired of being a fake and a fraud, a phony. He got tired of being a schemer. And finally, he come down to the point in his life. He said, I know the living God. I know him. I'm tired of this game. I'm tired of messing around. I don't want none of this formalistic junk. I want a touch of God himself. Jacob decided that he was going to face the music. Friend, I'm going to tell you, we got to come to a point in time of our life that we got to get serious about this thing of Christianity. It is not a game. It is a life. If it is a burden and a drudgery, if you had to be honest and testify to get up and go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, if it's a burden to tell somebody else about Christ, then I promise you, something is missing in your life today. More than that, I believe Jacob needed to legitimately be blessed. Of course, he'd been a schemester. His whole life had been nothing but trouble and running. But he's tired of it now. This is a very, very emotional time for Jacob. You know, sometimes we wrestle with God with problems in our life that we don't understand. That's a real good time. Sometimes we wrestle with God with the will of God in our life. Sometimes we wrestle with God because of questions that haunt us. And all those things are time that you and I ought to heavily wrestle with Almighty God. Man, I can remember the sickness of my wife and the cancer and the autism with my son. Let me tell you, hours on hours on hours, I wrestle with God. I grab a hold of him through this word and I wouldn't turn it loose. God, you got to give me something special. I can't make it through this. I can't make it just because I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I can't make it because I'm listening to preaching. I can't make it because I'm reading the word of God. I need a special touch of Almighty God. Jesus said in Matthew 7, he said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. It means to keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Don't you ever, ever give up. Son, Satan fights us on prayer more than anything else, huh? I guarantee if we testified and, oh, yeah, I do that, bro. Oh, yeah, bro. Oh, yeah, but, oh, yeah, but what about prayer? What about truly talking to God? What about truly fellowshipping with God? How about you dads? Do you pray with your children? I mean, you fellowship around the throne of God. It should be so important. You got to be real. Let me tell you something. You won't ever be perfect. Dad, mom, you're going to make more mistakes than I'm going to tell you you can ever imagine. But, buddy, if they see that you're real about what you believe, it'll do something in your life. I don't remember a day since my children come into this world that if I'm at home and if I'm not at home, mama takes care of it. We get down every single day and we cry out to God. God, please bless this home. Bless my children. Protect them. Help them. Watch over them. And Lord, I pray that you give them wisdom to make mighty good decisions in their life. Wrestling with God. Number two, it was a humbling experience for Jacob. This blows my mind that someone actually wrestled with God. Oh, hang on, brother. Hang on, brother. Hang on, Brother Rob. How do you know that he wrestled with God? Well, I like to look at evidence in the Bible. That's what I like to look for. You see, this man crippled Jacob with just one touch. Huh? It didn't say he body slammed him out there. It didn't say he did a belly-to-belly suplex, amen. It didn't say he come off a top tie rope with an elbow smash to the head. It said he touched him. Jacob asked this man for a blessing. Again, who's the only one that can truly bless? The stranger would not tell Jacob his name, but he spoke with authority. Huh? Jacob obviously understand who this was. In verse 30, because he said, I have seen God face to face. 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This was a theophany. This was Jesus Christ in the flesh in the Old Testament, friend. Hey, I'm going to tell you, just like he was walking in the cool of the day in the book of Genesis, that was our Savior, Jesus Christ. He always has been. He always will be. I'm talking about God tonight. That's how we know that it was God. Sometimes we just wrestle with God because of deep desire for his blessings. You see, God wants to bless us. There's no doubt about it. But it's not the norm. I mean, you young people especially, it's not the norm. Listen to me. I jumped into this thing August 21st of 1994 when I got saved. And I jumped in it with both feet. Because I had been living in the world for a long time and seen most things that most people had never imagined to see in their life. So when I found out that there was a Savior that loved me enough to die for me, I found out that there was a no-changing book that was real. Son, I dove in with everything that I had. There was a void inside. I thought I ruled the world. I didn't think I needed anybody. I wasn't busted and flat broke. Man, I had money. I had a great job. I was going and getting it. But that void could not be filled. And when the Word of God was preached to me and the Spirit of God moved in me, that void was filled, friend. But listen to me. If you're not careful, the same thing would happen to you that happened to me. I didn't have a problem with these rules and regulations. It's what most true fundamentalists get shot down for. Is they can say, oh, it's all about rules. It's all about regulation. It's all about legalism. It's all about this. Or y'all some kind. Hey, listen to me. Son, that can creep up on you, boy. And I'm going to tell you, I said, okay, if it's in the Bible, I'll do it. Okay, in the Bible, you know, I'll get a haircut. I'll get a haircut. Hey, man, I'll clean up and put on the decent clothes. Amen. I mean, when I first started, mine was blue jeans and old snakeskin boots and old raggedy T-shirt. Hey, just so if you're here, that's fine. Hey, you know what? I found out there's a presentation that we ought to have walking before Jesus Christ himself. Oh, that was fine and dandy. That didn't bother me. But about 9 months later, I started to ask myself, is that all this is about? I mean, you come in here and you get saved and okay, now we got streets of gold laid up for us and get to see the gate of pearl and, you know, now I'm gonna keep my hair cut and I'm gonna put on a tie and I'm gonna dress right, act right, walk right and see if in the Bible I don't have a problem. But is that the way it's going to be from now on out? Is that the life I'm going to live? It became the norm. It became the norm, okay? That's all it was the norm. It was me understanding that was God's word, and I better line up with it. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I woke up and I said, I can't live like this. I can't live like this. If God is who he says he is, then I've got to know him before who he is. I'll never forget. I left my house. I told my wife. I said, I'm going to the church. She said, well, what for? I said, right now I really can't tell you. I just feel like I need to go to church. He ain't doing nothing up there tonight. I said, I don't care. Just trust me. I'm going to the church. Went and knocked on the pastor's door. And he come to the door. And Brother Rob, what are you doing? I said, I want to ask permission to go to the church. And he said, well, sure, you can go to the church. Nothing going on up there. I said, I just want to go. And he gave me the keys, and I went. And I remember I opened up that auditorium and cut all the lights on. And I went up to the pulpit. And man, I just took a song book. And I just led singing right there in the loudest voice I could. And I wasn't even called to preach. And I opened up the Bible and preached a full-blown message. Amen. Three rats walked out and got saved that day. I'll never forget it. Amen. No, you know I'm lying. But I'm telling you, you said, what in the world? You lost your mind. Now, that was Rob Hicks. I'm telling you, I don't know what you might need to do in your life, but you say, what was you doing? I was building an intimate relationship with my Savior. And I'm going to tell you, I never got over it. It became a regular thing with me. I never asked for an auditorium. I never asked for a congregation. I never called preachers across this nation. For years, preachers have asked me, do you have a card? No, I'm sorry, I don't. Do you have a website? No, I'm sorry, I don't. I got a phone number of you on here. Bless God, if you want to call me, call me. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I want God more than I want anything. What do you want in your Christianity? You want a pretty auditorium? Thank God for this auditorium. I love it. It makes me feel good. It's easy to preach in here. Man, I see Take Your Stand. It fires me up. But friend, you can put that in any building anywhere you want to. Without God, it's nothing. Christian lie today. Now, that thing came real to me, Brother Ryan, a few years later. I used to raise and break quarter horses when I lived in Alabama. I had a little old small horse farm. I just love horses, you know. And I trained them horses. And I was at an expo years later. Matter of fact, this was like 2018, I think. I wasn't there for the horse deal. I was there for me and my son was doing something else. World-class horse trainer that is known everywhere this side of the Lake of Fire. So his name's Kurt Pate, very famous guy. He was down there teaching everybody about how to train horses. Just a flock of people went down there. I said, man, I'll go down there. It's like preaching, man. I'm fixing to go down there and see what this guy's got to say about this horse out here. I went out there and sat down, and man, he had this horse. His horse would literally do anything this man said. It was unbelievable. And he stood up and testified, and he said, folks, for many years, I have halter taught horses. And he said, you can train a horse with a halter without any problem. But something about training them with a halter is a large percentage of the time they go back to the habits that they used to have. I thought I was being mean if I trained them with bits. But there's something about when you put a bit in a horse's mouth that is scientifically to be proven that it settles their stomach. So their nerves start to settle and they begin to relax and they begin to learn much better. And man, I was sitting over there eating that up. I thought about over in the book of James, where the word of God talks about that we turn the head of massive horses with a bit. I got to thinking about old Rob Hicks. I got to thinking about the word of God was truly the bit in my life. And man, if I just looked around and saw all these rules and regulations, I was like, ain't nobody harnessing me. But when I got to thinking about how sweet the word of God was, how good God was, son, those bits that are in the word of God gave me a sense of relaxation. That's why you take a person that's engaged with God. He don't have problems with the things that God says. It's always the ones that if you can't do this as a Christian, you can't grab somebody as a preacher that's canceling, but if it was right and you could, 99.9% of the people that call themselves Christian that are complaining about the Christian life, and really, if you walked over and grabbed them and said, how much time have you spent in the Word of God? They would stand up and testify. Probably not any at all. Because their Christian life has been built upon relationships, buildings, meetings. Boy, hardly any of that was in my message. It just got inserted in there for some reason. The prayer of Jabez. You know, Hollywood tried to ruin it, but it's in our Bible. And it's right and it's true. First Chronicles 4:9, the Bible said, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Listen to this. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my cause, that my hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Let me tell you something. God's no respecter of persons. If you got to go, if you got a hold of God, the blessings are there, friend. But you got to know, the Bible said he was more honorable than his brethren. There was a reason that God blessed him, friend. You grab a hold of God. I pray that prayer every day of my life for my family, my marriage, my children. Why? I want to be blessed indeed. I want my coast to be enlarged, and God has done that for 28 years. I don't have no big bank account, man. I'm telling you, if they shut this thing down next week, I would be in serious trouble. But up to this point right here, as a man that tithes, as a man that loves God, as a man that prays, as a man that walks with God, as far from being the Christian that it should be, but God still chooses to bless me. And he's no respecter of person. It's a humbling experience to wrestle with God. One of the questions we might ask, how in the world can a human like me and you wrestle with God, which spoke this universe into existence? That, we can't even comprehend that, but yet we can. You see, he's the Father, and we're the child. Now, my boys are big now. I mean big, buddy. I mean, I got one that's 6'4", 230 pounds. Man, they feel like he can turn a car over. But he wasn't always like that. We'd jump down in the floor, man, on Friday night, and we'd shove all the furniture back out of the way. And, man, we have a carpet just wrestling arena right there. And, man, I'd grab them kids, and boy, we would go at it. I'm talking about throwing down in the living room and wrestling. All rednecks from Alabama wrestle. Y'all might not understand that, but we come up wrestling. I mean, wrestling everywhere in school, no matter where you was at. If there was any grass or gravel, we was wrestling, amen. So we was wrestling in the floor. They're the children. Well, I'm letting them get me in a headlock. I'm letting them get my arm up. Oh, man, you're killing me. You're killing me. Oh. Just wrestling. But I always do the same thing every time. I spin around, maybe grab them behind the neck, and just put enough pressure on their neck to where that it was a little uncomfortable, to where they knew Dad was always in control. Jacob like he did. Show him how much he wanted to be involved in his life. But don't you ever forget that I am in 100% control. It was a life-changing experience for Jacob. Jacob got a new name. Guess what we gonna get, amen? Huh? He was born, old Jacob. You know the word Jacob means grabber. Grabbing at his brother's heel when he come into this world. But now, the deceiver is a believer. And God called him Israel, a prince with God. There's a brand new life here, friend. The Bible said he's going home to his own country. Now you think about this. God has proven this in my life to be true over and over and over and over. He had an enemy. Our enemy was a brother. The brother was going to kill him as soon as he saw him. But what happened first? Listen to me, folks. Please listen to me. He spent time all night wrestling with God himself. He got a touch of God on his life. And the Bible said when he saw Esau, that Esau hugged him and kissed him and told him that he loved him. And listen to me. If you spend time with God in the right way, let me tell you, I don't care who your enemy is. You present yourself to them in the right fashion, you can be the life changer. You don't have to live a life like that. That new walk always comes with a price. Jacob limped the rest of his entire life. It's going to cost us something to truly encounter with God. Myself, or Brother Bale, are not going to stand up here and testify our payment or the things that we've done. Hey, everybody has those payments. You do, I do, they do, everybody. No one is exempt. The Bible said in Luke chapter 14 and verse 27, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intended to build a tower, sitteth down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Let's happen. And after laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, counteth the cost. Come to God and said, I don't care. You want to be blessed? I don't care, God. We are created for God's pleasure, friend. I don't care, God. I want to be blessed. I don't care what the consequences is. And you trust him. He will never make mistakes in your life. Even though sometimes in the back of our mind, we're questioning God. God, this is a lot. I don't understand this. I don't
see what's going on. I don't know if I can handle this. Yes, you can. I stand before you right now. You can handle it.
I'm going to tell you something, friend. When we got the news of my little 3.5-year-old boy, Hunter Hicks, was diagnosed with autism, we never even heard that word before. I mean, the unbelievable panic and fear that came into our lives. Why? Not because of he had autism, because we as parents, are we going to be able to take care of him? Are we able to give him the needs that he needs? Are we going to be able to love him the way we should love him? I'm going to tell you something, friend. That was a dark, dark time. But my wife and myself fell on our face before God. We trusted God to give us what we needed in life. And every single day, he would give us what we need. That boy's 26 years old right now. He's the biggest blessing that you could ever imagine. He has about a 3-year-old mentality. He can't carry on a complete sentence. But buddy, when I walk in, he's standing there looking, and he said, "Love you, Daddy, love me. You love me, Daddy, I love you." I'm going to tell you something, friend. It don't get any better than that. We must trust God completely. Count the cost. Jacob got a brand new power with God. God called him a prince. God admired Jacob because he refused to let him go. You think we could make a decision right here, going into this meeting, that we want to grab a hold of God and not let him go? Listen, we're all here because we want something from God. At least I hope so. I sure do hope so. I'd like to feel like that I'm convinced that you're here this morning in the house of God because you truly want something from God. You can't even comprehend what I'm talking about if you're not here wanting something from God. Why don't we grab a hold to him and not turn loose? Jacob would have never found this new power had God not invited him to that personal wrestling match. I got a good friend down south. I've been knowing him for about 17 years. His testimony was he grew up there in Ardmore, Alabama, learned how to throw a baseball. Man, as a teenager, he's about 6'2", about 225, throw a baseball almost 100 miles an hour, over and over and over. Scouts was coming out of everywhere there, scouting him. We'd give him a full-blown paid scholarship to play baseball, what he loved to do. Now listen to me, friend. That boy was ready to go. He was ready to go. Ain't no doubt about it. He would have went through college and been a hero. He would have went on to the major leagues and made all kind of money, just hands down. Without an injury, that's what would have happened. But he found himself sitting in a preaching service. And son, the Holy Ghost of God grabbed a hold to him. And you know what? He grabbed back to the hold of God. And he grabbed God that day. And he was wrestling. Why was he wrestling? Because in his mind, man, he was looking at all the dreams that was laid out there. And on the other side, he was looking at all the blessings of God. But he wasn't kind of loose of him. And he said, "God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to surrender to you. Thank God." And he counted the cost.
Yes.
Went on to Bible college and graduated. He's been pastoring for 20 years, one of the best friends I got, and I thank God for him. But I'm going to tell you something. That's just a story. And we all have one. Mine was finances. Offered finances early in my life. I was making a lot of money. I sat under the preaching at pastor school. And I'll never forget that message. Who will make a difference in America? I said to her, I can never make a difference anywhere. And then the Holy Ghost of God grabbed a hold of me. And I grabbed him back and I said, "I don't care what it takes. I don't care what price I had to pay. I'm not turning loose of you, God. I'm not going to turn loose of you." And I surrendered that night and forfeited all my plans to serve the living God. Oh, what do you got today, Brother Rob? I tell you, I just celebrated 30 years of marriage, friend. I feel like I'm just as in love with that young lady right now as I was the day we got married. I said, "Son, the butterfly's still all upside my stomach. I can't wait to get home." I'm telling you, son, I got 4 boys that are serving God in church this morning. It loves the Lord. Hey, I don't have to speak any more than that. I'm going to tell you something. I've been blessed beyond measure. What do we want to do? Do we just want to play
church. Just come in. What's God really need to wrestle with you about anyway? We ain't covered any of that. Huh? Maybe some bitterness out here anymore? Maybe somebody even say, Brother Rob, I'm here and I don't even know that if I'm saved or not. You're just like a robot, friend, trying to force yourself into this thing called Christianity. That's horrible. You can't do that. You're destined to destruction. You have very good thoughts and very good desires, but you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You must be born again. Huh? What are we going to do? Let's think about Psalm 66. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And this thing of serving Jesus, we got to get down to the real deal. Where's your heart at this morning? Now, I don't want to be unkind to you, rude to you, but let me tell you something. We've got so far away from Christianity in this nation today, we got to get back to where we left off. James 3:3. We put bits in the horse's mouth, they may obey us, and we turn about their whole bodies. Where you at this morning with your true relationship with God? Don't be one that's halter broke. It might be a little uncomfortable, but let the Holy Spirit put the bits in your mouth, and it'll settle you. I don't know what to say anymore. What are we going to do? When the Lord tells me to shut it down, I shut it down. Jacob's life was transformed when he had a true physical relationship with God. I cannot stress that anymore this morning. I'm begging you this morning to get whatever God wants you to have. Wrestle with God. Every head bowed, every eye.